Okay, so I'm going to start with 1 Peter chapter 2. And we're just going to look at a verse there, and we're going to take one phrase out of that verse as our text. Last week we talked about discerning the Lord's body as we held our communion service. And since this is our last service with the Gilmartins, I want to continue the theme by talking about the brotherhood. And likely we will be a bit emotional, so get the Kleenex ready. All right, our passage is in the submission section of 1 Peter. We've been in this for the last couple of months in our Wednesday night studies. Such a blessed, blessed section. It's been so profitable as we have thought our way through it. And if you've missed some of those sessions, I encourage you can go back and find them on our YouTube channel. Most of them are on the audio also. I don't have them all quite uploaded on the audio, but most of them. So I encourage you to listen to them. I think it's an important area of our understanding of the Scriptures. Anyway, I want to continue the theme today by talking, we had a message from this passage on November 28th, 2021, so not that long ago. And I'm not going to repeat that message today. We're going to extract this one phrase out of our text, and that makes our meditation for this service. And so here's the text, 1 Peter 2:17. Honor all people, love the brotherhood, fear God, honor the king. And so, of course, emphasizing that one phrase, love the brotherhood. Now, we have this image of the church that we promote around here. It's often found in Paul's writings, the image of a body. And I find it so instructive. Paul's teaching in Ephesians, we have the various parts of the body, and he talks about how the human body is joined together with ligaments and all of those intricate parts of the design, how God made us, what a wonderful thing it is. And the Christian body, the body of Christ, has the same kind of ties, interconnections between one another. And so he uses that as the metaphor. Now, the brotherhood is a good substitute. It seems to be Peter's metaphor, his concept of the church. And this word, brotherhood, is actually used only two times in the New Testament, both in Peter. The second one is in 1 Peter 5:9, and he says, "But resist him firm in your faith, knowing that the same experience of suffering are being accomplished by your brethren who are in the world." Now, it's translated brethren there. But it's this word, brotherhood. So we're going to think about the brotherhood, how we are connected by the brotherhood, how it affects us, and how we live on in this world, that we can't live with all the brotherhood all at once. So, the brotherhood. To define the term, I looked on some of my resources, and I came up with this from the Lexham Research Lexicon of the Greek New Testament. The church across the world understood as those in a kinship relationship between brothers and sisters in God's family. So, a couple of key things there. Obviously, it's the church. We're talking about the church. But here we're talking about the church across the world. We're not talking about a local church, although a local church should model this. We're talking about believers around the world understood. This means this is a metaphor. We're seeing it in a certain way. We're seeing it as a group of people from all walks who have a kinship relation. So in our church, we are fortunate to have people from literally all over the world. We're so thankful to have people from other nations who have come to our country and are believers and want to fellowship with us. And there is a kinship relationship that begins immediately. I mean, it's already existed. It's the brotherhood. The New Testament usually uses the concrete term brethren, okay, or brothers. But brotherhood is an abstract term. It's used for the concrete, according to the International Standard Bible encyclopedia. The brotherhood in Israel, there was a brotherhood that kept the national identity intact. They were all part, even though they weren't necessarily from the same tribe, they weren't necessarily from the same family, they weren't necessarily from the same town, they were all brothers. You see Paul addressing his the Jews as men and brethren. We saw that this morning in Acts 23:1. And this brotherhood in Israel actually persists to this day, even especially amongst those who are of the more orthodox. Or the more orthodox they are, the more they have this concept. We are part of this one group. We are all a group. But in Christ, okay, that relationship amongst the Jews is a relationship of blood. Even though they're not from the same tribe or the same town, they're all descended from Abraham. It's a relationship of blood. But in Christ, the relationship goes deeper. It's not a relationship of blood, but of spirit. So a couple of verses. Matthew 12:49, and stretching out his hand toward his disciples, he said, "Behold my mother and my brothers." You remember, this is when his mother and brothers had come, his literal brothers, to take him away. They thought he was mad. "Who is my mother and brothers?" Looks to his disciples. "Behold." He's talking about this relationship. He's talking about this kinship that exists in the Spirit. Hebrews 2, verse 11 says, "For both he who sanctifies and those who are sanctified are all from one Father, for which reason he is not ashamed to call them brethren." And there is, and that is the brotherhood. The brotherhood. We are in this relationship with the Lord Jesus Christ. That is a unique thing about Christianity. It's not simply a religion. It's not a set of practices that I follow. It's not some way of gaining, you know, ultimate, you know, oneness with the universe by the deeds I do, like Buddhism or some other religions. It's not a way of gaining God's approval by performing the right rituals, as Judaism descended to, as Catholicism generally, not everybody in it, but generally, that tends in that direction. As many other religions, they are works-based. They're based on doing things. But our religion, our faith, is a relationship with a living Lord Jesus Christ who has in the Spirit made us to be a part of his family by the Spirit. All right? So this is a unique brotherhood amongst men. Now, in the world, all men are created by God. They are one blood. There is a sense in which all, there is a sense we will talk about the brotherhood of man. Well, in a sense, we're all related. If you go back far enough in the family tree, they will find, you know, Noah for everyone. And then you keep working your way back. It gets to Adam. We're all descended from the same people. Acts 17:26 says, "He made from one man every nation of mankind to live on all the faces of the earth, having determined their appointed times and the boundaries of their habitation." And the King James puts it, "hath made of one blood," they put it that way, "one blood, all nations of men to dwell together." And we're all part of that family. But in the church, this is what it is. John 3:3, Jesus answered and said to him, "Truly, truly, I say to you, unless one is born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God." So we are born into this new relationship. It is by the Spirit. And Jesus goes on to explain to Nicodemus that the new birth has to do with the working of the Spirit. You can't see it, but you can see the results of it. This is this brotherhood. This is how it begins. And the second thing I want to talk, so we've defined the brotherhood. This relationship is between believers who are worldwide. They're, you know, they don't have to, you know, you don't have to meet another believer from, you know, halfway around the world for very long if they're truly a believer. And within moments, you have a commonality. That's the brotherhood. All right? So, the love for the brotherhood. We see this, many examples of this, in the Scriptures. And so you can turn with me if you like. I can just put these on the screen. This isn't going to be a long message, but we're going to just look at some examples that we've seen in the book of Acts. And they speak to me. I mean, I find these so moving. So that's where the Kleenex comes in. Anyway, Acts 9. Now in Joppa there was a disciple named Tabitha, which translated in Greek is called Dorcas. This woman was abounding with deeds of kindness and charity, which she continually did. And it happened at that time that she fell sick and died. And when they had washed her body, they laid it in an upper room. Since Lydda was near Joppa, the disciples, having heard that Peter was there, sent two men to him, imploring him, "Do not delay in coming to us." So Peter rose and went with them. When he arrived, they brought him into the upper room, and all the widows stood beside him, weeping and showing all the tunics and garments that Dorcas used to make while she was with them. Not sure what these disciples had wanted Peter to do. Maybe officiate at the funeral, maybe comfort them in their loss. But you know what happened next, of course. He called her to life, and she was raised. But the thing I want you to focus on is this weeping around the body of the loved sister who has departed. That's the brotherhood. And then I want to go to this one, Acts 20. The end of Paul's farewell speech we looked at for so many weeks in where he was in Miletus. It took him a couple hours maybe to say whatever he had to say. It took us weeks to get through it. All right, and then it says, when he had said these things, he knelt down and prayed with them all.
And they began to weep aloud and embraced Paul and repeatedly kissed him,
grieving especially over the word which he had spoken, that they would not see his face again. And they were accompanying him to the ship. And so here are these men from Ephesus. Now this is 30 miles away. They're on Miletus. And they are elders in the church. They're leaders. They're men who've, most of these men probably either directly through Paul's ministry or through somebody else in the group who had been won by Paul. These men have been won by Paul to the Lord Jesus Christ. They've been Christians, some of them only 2, 3 years, 4 years maybe. And they have grown in the faith. And they have learned of the Lord Jesus Christ. And now they're leaders in the church and they're preachers and they're serving the same God and they're hearing the apostles' message and they're continuing on in the ministry and they are perpetuating his work. And they know that everything changes and they're going to have to let him go.
But it doesn't stop the weeping because of the brotherhood.
Then Acts 21, this is in Caesarea. As we were staying there for some days, a prophet named Agabus came down from Judea. Coming to us, he took Paul's belt and bound his own feet and hands and said, "This is what the Holy Spirit says. In this way, the Jews at Jerusalem will bind the man who owns this belt and deliver him into the hands of the Gentiles." When we had heard this, we as well as the local residents began begging him not to go up to Jerusalem. And then Paul answered, "What are you doing, weeping and breaking my heart? For I am ready not only to be bound, but even to die at Jerusalem for the name of the Lord Jesus." Now, we know the story, and we've just been in this passage fairly recently. But the thing that to note is, Paul says, "What are you doing,
weeping and breaking my heart?" Well, what they're doing is they're being brothers. It's the brotherhood.
And one more vignette like this, a little earlier in that same chapter. This is in Tyre. When we came in sight of Cyprus, leaving it on the left, we kept sailing to Syria, landed at Tyre, for there the ship was to unload its cargo. After looking at the disciples, we stayed there 7 days, and they kept telling Paul through the Spirit not to set foot in Jerusalem. When our days there were ended, we left and started on our journey, while they all, with wives and children, escorted us until we were out of the city. After kneeling down on the beach and praying,
we said farewell to one another. Sorry.
Today, I have to rush off one of my last shifts at the commissioner, so you know, I'm not going to follow you up island. I'm not doing any of that. Okay. So, what do we have here? This is a church Paul, as far as we know, didn't found. He probably had been there before. But some other disciple had gone there and planted that church and won those people to the Lord and built up that body. And here they have this sense. They know what's happening. Paul's heading to Jerusalem. They know that the missionary journeys are going to change somehow. Maybe they've heard the prophecies. Maybe some of the prophets in their own midst have said, Paul, you're going to be arrested. There's going to be trouble in Jerusalem. Maybe. They know things are changing. They know it's likely, very likely, Paul will never pass that way again. But as a brotherhood, they want to hang on to him as long as they can. They want to let him go. That's what it's all about. That's this relationship. All right, so that's all the emotion, the love for the brotherhood. There's something else, the continuing work of the brotherhood. So I've got that same passage there, but it comes to the next verse. We said farewell to one another. Then we went on board the ship, and they returned home again. So the Christians of Tyre, acting as brothers, they come out. They want to be with him as long as they can. They escort him to the ship. And Paul and company depart. And maybe they stand on the beach and they're waving. And then what do? They go back to work. They go back to work, preaching the gospel, discipling the converts, living for Christ, and waiting for the shout. And that's what we're doing. There's always change in life. There is always occasions where that bond is stretched because of the reasons that will take one brother or sister a distance away, and our heart goes out to them, and we hear news of them from a far country, and it's glad to our ears. But they have work to do, and we have work to do. And the work doesn't stop. So we say the emotional goodbye, and we keep on working. That's what we do. Because the brotherhood has a job to do for the chief brother, the Lord Jesus Christ. Let's bow our heads for a word of prayer. Our Father, we thank you so much for the grace of God, for all that we have in the Lord Jesus. Lord, I pray that as we have this parting today, that you will go with Cam and Shelley and Elsa and Tristan and Riley. Give them safety as they travel. Give them souls in their work in PEI. Help them to be useful to the kingdom where they go. Lord, I pray that you will help us to carry on the work here. And may your name be glorified in everything we do. In Jesus' name, amen. Amen. Blessed be the tie that binds.